This is News Unbroken, where we take a real look at the news, not the spoon-fed material the national media tells us every day about. The government tells them what to tell you, and well, that's what's been going on here for the last 2 years. We don't buy into that. First off, I do want to tell you about COVID-19 here in Northeast Washington. Things really haven't dropped, according to the Northeast Tri-County Health District, Ferry County. In the last 14 days, 50 new cases, and that breaks down still to 643 cases per 100,000 population. Again, we're not talking about a big population base, so any cases at all really change those numbers on the per 100,000. Ponderay County, 9 new cases reported today. That's 472 cases per 100,000 in the last 14 days. Here in Stevens County, where I am, 13 new cases today, 231 new cases over the last 14 days. That means 513 cases per 100,000 population. Our numbers are still very high. Would encourage you, be careful, keep your distance, wash your hands often. Let's try and get those COVID numbers down. Now, one area that a lot of people travel to, entertainment-wise, vacation-wise, just to get to some warm weather, Clark County, Nevada. They are getting that much closer to being able to unmask while you're indoors. Clark County, that of course is where Las Vegas is. The Center for Disease Control releasing the data that shows the 7-day average is now below 100 new cases since the mask mandate was put into effect back in July. The Nevada governor says everyone needs a mask indoors unless things continue to drop. So moving from substantial to moderate last week on the positivity rate helps get closer to no masks indoors in Las Vegas. Right now, they need to be below the substantial rate. They need moderate in the number of new cases in the last week. They also need that positivity rate to remain low. When the new cases drop to a 7-day average of 50 or lower per 100,000 residents, 2 weeks in a row, they say masks will no longer be required indoors in Las Vegas. So right now, masks are still required and they are being enforced fairly aggressively that you wear a mask when you are indoors. But really getting close to the governor dropping that mask mandate for Clark County and Las Vegas. Something to think about if you plan on traveling. Of course, it's much, much more comfortable if you're not having to wear that mask at all other than while you're on the airplane. Have no doubt they are still very aggressively enforcing masks be up over your mouth and your nose while you are on the plane. Well, there is a lot going on here in Washington State. We had a chance to talk with Sulani Matson. She has been right on top of this WSU extension and 4-H here in the COVID era. So here's what Sulani had to say.
The questions about connection to 4-H came up from several places. One is from some neighbors who were longtime 4-H members, volunteers who were upset with some of the directions they were getting out of WSU. Our county commissioners declined to extend the extension contract without negotiating the vaccine mandate. It gave them a reason to say, hey, we're going to cut this off. Our extension agent had been getting a little increasingly frustrated with some of what she was seeing out of WSU. I think one of the last straws was an email that went out from WSU to all faculty and all staff that was promoting a National Coming Out Day and International Pronouns Day and all the ways that your groups that you're involved with could celebrate this. And it wasn't directed specifically at 4-H, but it is a reflection of where WSU as a university has been headed. And I taught down at the Pullman campus for 4 years as an adjunct, was spent 2 days a week on campus. And I have to say that if they were going to have a National Coming Out Day, they would need to let the conservative faculty and staff come out, because you just really had to watch what you said. I always felt like I could not speak freely, which is an awful thing to say about a university campus. I mean, that should be a place where you really can have free and open debate, but that's not the atmosphere. And that's part of what's causing this rift with 4-H. I did have an opportunity to sit down with Mike Gaffney from WSU Extension, the assistant director. He's completely aware of this awkward middle ground he's trying to walk. He understands the communities that Extension works with and what the worldview is there and how things look different. He also understands that he's back on the campus side and he's got to walk through that worldview. I actually felt really sorry for Mike. I mean, he is stuck trying to walk in the middle. The extension agent for Lincoln Adams County, who had been working out of the office in Davenport, left as of October 18th because she chose not to provide personal health information to the university. So Mike is coming up from WSU 1 day a week to fill in at that office and to see if there's a way to rebuild relationships, and we'll see where that goes. I think what I appreciated when I talked with Lori Matlock about the Northeast Washington Fair and why she was looking at the Grange program as another program, not a replacement, but as an alternative program, was that she was really focused on how do we get good programs to kids. And if there's too many people are having a problem with how the 4-H program is operating right now, well, then what's an alternative? And that's really where the focus needs to be. How do we get good programming to kids? How do we serve the community? Which is going to work better? And it's going to be a different decision for everybody. The whole question of what direction WSU is going is a different and a much larger question just outside of 4-H. 4-H and the vaccine mandate and the issues around that is a last straw issue of boundaries. Wes was, when I talked with him, he was certainly quite open to the same thing for the same reason as Lori, that we want to have alternatives for youth. And if the Fair Board comes to them with a good youth development program they want to include as one of the qualifying groups for participation in the fair, that they'd certainly look at that. Any county commissioners would responsibly look at a quality program. And the Grange program has been around for a while. It's organized in a similar fashion. So I suspect that it will become more popular and hopefully a way to rejuvenate some of those old Grange halls and reconnect neighbors locally. This governor has certainly shown no interest in relinquishing his role as the emergency dictator. It was a real disappointment when the legislature at the opening last year, you know, the Democratic majority pushed through affirming his emergency powers. I really don't see where that's going to end. It's going to start coming to a head pretty quickly because the eviction moratorium is ending shortly. And that is going to trigger a whole lot of conversations. The legislature is coming into session in January. We'll see what happens. At this point, Governor Inslee, he's grabbed on and held on to power for so long that he's created a real dilemma to him as to what does he do when he lets go. Because when he lets go, there's going to be a whole lot of repercussions I could see. It's really hard to picture what that's going to look like. How does he suddenly go back to, okay, everything? Yeah, I don't know. That may be part of his problem, is he can't figure out how to let go. I would much rather deal with whatever kind of chaos comes out of letting go than the chaos that we have right now with unending proclamations that pay no attention to input from anybody else. The lack of transparency, the lack of any kind of shared governance is appalling. The whole idea of an emergency powers is that for that initial round of an emergency, when you have to make decisions quickly, yes, it makes sense to set aside ordinary governance. But at some point, you really have to bring in the rest of the team or you're losing your followers. And he's lost a whole lot of voluntary compliance, and I don't see that coming back. That's an interesting what if, Nikki. What if the governor doesn't let go and it's next spring and some of the first of the fairs are starting and he says, nope, no fairs? I rather suspect that the passive resistance will not go away, including, all right, we can't have a fair at the fairgrounds. We're going to have it someplace else. Man, I don't think I want to see what happens. That's going to be... I don't think I would want to be the governor getting in the way of a bunch of those excited ladies. That's what I don't want.
On Wednesday evening here in Colville, the Northeast Washington Fair Board, with support from Stevens County Commissioner with Greg Young, they voted in an executive session to approve the inclusion of the Grange Youth Program into the 2022 Northeast Washington Fair. I have no doubt we'll be hearing more about that on into next week, but even if WSU and even if the state makes these requirements for 4-H'ers, well, we're still going to try and keep these kids involved with the fair and at next year's Northeast Washington Fair, vaccine or not. And our thanks to Sulani Mattson. She does write a weekly column for the Spokesman Review and is very involved in trying to keep America free. With the new federal requirements going into effect January the 4th, that any employer over 100 people has to either require the vaccine or have testing every week. And if you don't do this and you don't keep records that show you are testing or that every employee is vaccinated, it's about a $14,000 fine per employee. That is the strong hand of the federal government slamming down because they plan on using OSHA to enforce this. Tomorrow, we're going to talk a lot about how this is going to affect Stevens County here in Northeast Washington and how it's going to affect other businesses. We also will be hearing, and we'll get the information from Kathy McMorris Rogers on her opinion of this, what seems to be ludicrous, $14,000 fine if you don't keep your records or if you let someone come to work and they're not vaccinated or tested. Eric Carpenter with you. I really appreciate your joining us for the podcast. It's where we're able to talk about the news the way it really is. It's called News Unbroken. Tell your friends about it. Let your the people that... visit podcasts, drop them a note. They can join us on any number of platforms. I think there's 10 different platforms that News Unbroken appears on at this point. Let them know we would love to have them listening. And I'll join you again tomorrow.